The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of morning prayer on this 15th Sunday after Trinity. And we're delighted to welcome you here to the building. We're also delighted to welcome all of those who'll be joining us on the live stream and those who will later on be tuning in via the telephone. And we hope that wherever you are this morning, you'll feel part of the church family in this place. And we're so glad that you can worship with us. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about the idea of the Christian life as a journey. And we're going to be thinking about the challenge of living that journey just one day at a time. And it's a lesson that seems very timely as we make our way through the uncertainty of these days with the constantly changing guidelines and restrictions. And I know my thoughts today are very much with my colleagues in Dublin Diocese, where again all the churches again have been forced to close because of the restrictions in Dublin at this time. So services are all taking place online, having resumed in church buildings. So it's difficult for people in various parts at this time, and our thoughts are with them. If you're here for the first time, or if you haven't been since lockdown, I just always give a couple of little notices of things that are a little bit different that you need to keep your eye out for during the service. And the first one is that at the end of the service, you're asked to just remain in your seat until one of our stewards will indicate that you can head out. And then we encourage people at the end of the service to make their way out towards the lawn or the car park, where you can have a chat at social distance with those who are here as well. So just that we don't block up the entrance to the church. Second thing is that normally in our church services, where we might normally have an offering during a hymn, and that's not taking place at the moment, but those who don't give electronically and who might like to give a free will offering, there is a basket at the back of the church. So that's the way that happens. And the third thing that we probably find most strange at the moment is that we're not permitted to sing. But as the hymns happen in the service, and the words of the hymns will appear on the screen, and it's just an opportunity for us to reflect and to think about those words and to apply them to our lives. You'll also see on the screen this week that the notices for the week that is to come. Zoom seems to be the mechanism by which we do so many things these days. And you'll see that on Wednesday, our Alpha course continues on Zoom. It's a course that explores kind of the meaning of life over a course of weeks. And people are welcome to join at any time they want to. But the details are on the screen about how you do that. You send an email and then you'll be given the link for the Alpha course. And you'll also be sent a link for the video to watch for each week. And you'll also see that the parish prayer meeting happens every Thursday over Zoom. And it's lovely to be able to join together with others from the church and to pray for situations affecting our world, affecting the parish, and affecting individuals. And just to do that in the privacy of our own homes, but to come together as a community to do that. And the details are again on the screen notice. But as we come together this morning, what we're going to do first, as we normally do, is to lift up our hearts in worship and praise. And we do that as we hear the words of our opening hymn, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation."
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer too. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our Bible reading today, which is from the book of Exodus, we hear about the Lord's provision for the Israelites as they journey through the desert. We read from Exodus chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out of this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the clouds. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you'll be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Here ends our Bible reading. And in our next hymn, we hear about Mary's obedience to doing the will of God as we hear the song, Mary Sang a Song. Now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to join together in the second and fourth collects of morning prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn that speaks of God's faithfulness to us. Great is thy faithfulness. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's always interesting to have a conversation with people who are genuinely curious about finding out more about the Christian faith and the Christian life. And although it's true that less and less people, as a general comment, are coming to church today than in previous generations, I still find that a respectful curiosity still exists about the life of faith. And our reading for this morning is a reading that really touches in on what is, for me, one of the most challenging and radical parts of living the Christian life. And that's the challenge of living one day at a time. And one of the themes that runs right throughout the scriptures that I find helpful is the idea that each one of our lives is a journey. And it's a story that's being written and shaped by God as we open our hearts and we open our lives to Him. And if we even catch a glimpse of this truth in our own lives, it brings a whole new dimension to the way that we approach things. Because the first thing we discover is that God is actually deeply interested in all that is going on for us, from the big things in our lives to the more routine, everyday, what we might call dull parts of our lives. And the second thing that is revealed is that to each one of us, God has given different gifts and skills, and He has a unique purpose and a unique plan for each of us to fulfill under His direction and His guidance. And so the question arises, and it's a question, I suppose, that's explored in some depth on our Alpha course that we're doing on Wednesday evenings, is how does my story speak of God's work in my life? What direction ought I to be taking? And it is in this context that living one day at a time becomes an enormous challenge. And so in our first reading today that we heard from the Bible, we get this picture of the Christian life as a journey. And as the children of Israel journey through the desert to the promised land, they have no idea how long they will be traveling for. And it's a question that has troubled children in every generation who've ever traveled with their parents in the family car to visit friends or relations or to go on holidays. Are we nearly there yet? Bet you've heard those words if you've ever had to transport children in the car. Are we nearly there yet? And many of us, though, then carry these kinds of patterns into our Christian life. We might have had a powerful experience of faith in our childhood or in our teenage years or even later in our lives. And we somehow reckon that we've made it and that's it. But God wants all of us to know that was just an early step on the journey. And that there is much learning and indeed unlearning of past patterns of behavior if we are to go further or to go deeper with Him. One of the dangers that we encounter, as the children of Israel did, is a tendency to idealize the past. And as the children of Israel struggled in the desert with the uncertainty of knowing how long their journey would be, they looked back with this idealized notion about their past life in Egypt. "We had pots of meat in slavery," they said, "and we ate all the food that we wanted." And it's almost like they've completely forgotten all the oppression and the harsh treatment that led them to cry out to God in the first place for their liberation. Walking the Christian journey can be a difficult and lonely place, as many of us will be able to testify. If you hold, for example, different values or different aspirations to your contemporaries or your colleagues or members of your family. That's not an easy position to take. And sometimes people will say things like, life was so much easier when I had no conscience at all, and I did exactly what I wanted all the time. And in truth, it might seem like that when you take a stance on some particular issue. But then there's always that inner disquiet that comes whenever we stray off that journey that God has called us to. And if we've begun to follow God and to walk with Him in our daily lives, whenever we go off that path, there's always a sense of inner disquiet or sense that we're not really doing the right thing. God did hear the grumbling of the travelers in the desert. And in answering their cry, He set them a challenge that seems truly scandalous in the part of the world in which we live. He told them that He would supply all their needs, but that they needed to trust Him, and He would only give them what they needed for one day at a time, except for the sixth day, when they would be given a double portion for the next day. What a very radical way to live, if we think about it. And I think it is hard to visualize this way of living in the midst of the affluence in which we normally live. But when I was trying to work out what it might look like, I was imagining a scenario where our cupboards at home were bare. And we were told that God would give us enough for each day and no more. In other words, I would have no freezer crammed to the top with loads and loads of food in case something unexpected happened, in case we went into lockdown again, or if somebody unexpected turned up for dinner, we'd have nothing to be able to reach out in that event. Or living as the Israelites were told to live, we would have no savings in my bank account, no credit card to help me if I was stuck, if the unexpected happened and the washing machine gave up the ghost, or the Hoover did its thing and completely failed, we would have no resources to get a replacement. And if we think about even those everyday things, I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure that I would manage very well if I was forced into such a situation of living a day at a time. I think I'd have to pray like never before. God provided for the Israelites, but they had to trust Him every step of the way. And perhaps the expectation that we have to challenge most on the Christian journey is that everything will somehow work out smoothly just because we have a faith. And the reality is that it's often in those most testing of times that we feel God's presence closest to us as we realize our need to completely depend on Him. So how can we learn to live simpler, more dependent lives? During lockdown, I read this really inspiring biography of a missionary from Northern Ireland called Maud Kells. And Maud Kells spent most of her life working as a midwife in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And she hit the news headlines because she was badly injured in an attempted raid on her compound back in 2015. And in this book about her life called An Open Door, She went through many overwhelming experiences in her life of service in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where she lived since 1968. And what was so striking for me in her book was her complete dependence on God and her deep life of prayer, which sustained her through all sorts of very difficult things, like building projects or staff and equipment shortages, or the reality of living in a country at a time of civil war and conflict where often her life was in danger. But she had a real sense of God's call on her life to serve people in this war-torn and poverty-ravaged land. And at each challenge and each turn, she relied so completely on God in prayer to take the next step necessary to resolve each situation. It's an extraordinary and an inspiring read. But when I was thinking about how she approached her life in that very difficult situation she found herself in, I know that quite often we, and by when I say we, I probably mean I, seem to plow on in our own strength. And that would suggest that just like the Israelites, as far as we're concerned, we're unwilling to trust that Jesus will be enough, that he will, in fact, provide for our needs each day. So let's today pray for the humility and the grace to repent of our arrogance and to trust anew in all that Jesus has done for us as we journey on with him in our daily lives. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for the way that you accompanied the Israelites on their journey through the desert and how you provided what they needed for each day. We pray that we too would know your presence with us in our daily lives. We pray that you'd help us when we feel overwhelmed and anxious about the pandemic. We pray that you would walk with us through the stresses we experience in the workplace, that you'd be with us in the big decisions that we need to take and in the hard conversations that we need to have. We pray that you'd walk with us through challenging health situations in our families, maybe with our children or our parents, or hidden fears about our own health. Just like Moses, Lord, we need you with us every step of the way. And we ask you to walk with us today and every day, filling us with your wisdom, your grace, your spirit, and your peace. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for many countries in Europe where a second wave of the virus sees infection rates rising. And we continue to pray today for all government leaders, for medical officers and advisors having difficult decisions to make to keep us all safe. We pray that they would be guided by your wisdom, and that we would have the humility and grace to follow the right steps at this critical time. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And Lord, we remember today all who are going through treatment for cancer at this time, all who are making regular journeys for treatment. And we pray for those who are administering that treatment. We pray for family members too, as they try to offer compassion and support to people on a difficult journey. We pray for inner strength on that journey that often takes in so many highs and lows, and for a sense of your courage, resilience, and peace to enfold people today. We pray too for all consultants and doctors making again difficult decisions and having to break difficult news regularly as part of what they do. Help them to use words carefully and well, and to equip people for all that is unfolding. We also remember in our prayers today those who have been bereaved, as we remember especially today Davy and the Campbell family circle on the death of Davy's brother Paul. And Lord, we ask for your comfort and support at a sad time of loss for their family circle. Lord, in your mercy, hear. And in a moment, we want to bring before God any who are in our thoughts and on our minds as we come to church, and as we ask God to help them and provide them with all that they need for this particular day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning speaks about the Lord's provision for his people throughout their journey. The hymn, O God of Bethel, by whose hand.
Thank you.
And just a little reminder before our final blessing, if you could just remain in your seat at the end of the service until the stewards show you out, and if you make your way to the lawn or the car park for a chat. We bow our heads for God's blessing. And as we go out into the week that lies ahead of each one of us, may God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.